Innovation Conversations from the Southwest Innovation Expo.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Innovation Conversations from the Southwest Innovation Expo, recorded here at Sandy Park in Exeter. This time, we're taking a look at the importance of critical minerals. Metals and minerals are in everything from batteries and TVs to mobile phones and solar panels. Literally, you're probably carrying some in your pocket right now. These all have to come from somewhere. They all have to be mined. And we're going to look at the effects that critical minerals have on the economy and the environment. To talk to us about this subject that touches us all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hadi Mohamed and also Dr. Rob Fitzpatrick. They're both from the Camborne School of Mines from the University of Exeter. Hadi, your research fellow, and Rob, your senior lecturer. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
I'll start with Rob, if I may. Can you tell us about the University of Exeter's dedicated School of Mining? I've not heard about this, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of our listeners won't have either.
Yes, we get that quite often, funnily enough. But we have existed for an awful long time. So the Camborne School of Mines has existed for well over 100 years. It's been partnered with the University of Exeter since 1994. And we've been on a shared campus in Penryn with Falmouth University and lots of other great University of Exeter degree topics since 2004. As a mining department, we train engineers, we train geologists, so we train people to work in the minerals industry, essentially. We also look at the environmental side, so we train environmental scientists at the same time as well, because getting metals out of the ground, as you mentioned earlier, is a key part of growing economies and feeding economies, but doing it in a way which is environmentally safe and as responsible as possible is clearly important as well. We teach undergraduates, we teach masters, we have lots of research programs all about metals and mining and innovating and being responsible in that sphere.
Hadi, it sounds like a very resource-hungry form of education. Is that the case?
Yes, exactly. If we consider the Camborne School of Mine as one of the most historic mining schools in the UK, it is a very reputation, and most of the students, nationally and internationally, they are very interested to start their education in the field of mining in Camborne School of Mine, yes.
Before we started recording, you mentioned about something that you have called the Critical Minerals Equipment Hub. That sounds like a key component to the School of Mines. What is that?
Actually, the Critical Mineral Equipment Hub is a project that recently has been run in the Camborne School of Mine, and it has been funded by UK Shared Prosperity Funding. The main scope of this project is providing a research facility for doing the research in the field of critical minerals by providing the hydrometallurgical and analytical equipment that is required, and most of them are very state of the art and will be interested with them for the research students and research project, and also the local companies and private companies in the field of mining.
So, Rob, in my introduction, I mentioned that we all carry precious minerals, metals, with us in our mobile phones. They're an integral part of our everyday lives. That makes me think it's also an integral part of the economy, how things work around the world.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So there are estimates that 45% of the world's economic activities are essentially as a result of primary extraction. It's important to know that that's, I suppose, in some of this context, that mining isn't the only answer. You do have to look at things like recycling as well, reducing demand. But even with recycling, even in reduction in demand, it's absolutely true that we are going to be mining more and more metals as we move forward. More countries are developing, so more people want a mobile phone in their pocket. Importantly, moving to net zero, to low carbon, means changing the way we generate energy. And we're moving away from carbon emission-based processes, coal and gas, to renewable energy. And those sources use an awful lot more materials and metals than coal. So to set up offshore wind might use 8 times the amount of materials, minerals, that are used in a coal power plant to produce the same watt of energy, the same megawatt of energy. However, the amount of carbon it produces is 80 times less. So we're moving to those industries. So it 45% is a number, an estimate of what it might be at the minute. That's something that could be growing moving forwards. With that said, hopefully what will happen is that the mining of the metals will replace mining of coal. So there could be an overall reduction in mining moving to net zero. It's about twice as much coal mined in a year as all metals combined. And it's a staggeringly large number. I think it's 9 billion tons of coal is mined every year. So by moving to minerals, moving to renewable energy, electric vehicles, electrification, we can drastically, reduce carbon footprints, reduce use of coal, but it will mean more mining. It will mean that has to happen because those materials, as you said in the introduction, have to come from somewhere. For now, at least, it's the ground, because there just isn't enough in the atmosphere in the world yet to produce new stuff.
You say it has to come from somewhere, Hardy. How rich is the Southwest in terms of critical minerals? What do we have to offer down here?
Yeah, actually, now Southwest is going to be the center of exploration projects related to the critical minerals. And as you know, there are some local companies available here that they are working on a very huge project on exploration of the critical minerals, including lithium and copper, tin, tungsten, as the main critical minerals are available here. I want to do more explanation about the critical mineral equipment hub that we are working in the CSM. The main idea of the making an equipment hub is supplying the high-tech equipment that is required to supporting this kind of exploration and research project that are current in Southwest. For doing this, the Critical Mineral Equipment Hub project is a project that around £4 million funding by Shared Prosperity Fund, and we have a private partner that is a mineral processing company's name is Grinding Solution. And some parts of the equipment will be delivered to them, and some of them will be installed in the CSM laboratory facilities. What we are going to do, we want to provide all services to the private sectors, to the academic centers, and to the companies who are working in the field of geo-resources, to preventing some parallel investing in the equipment and for supporting for job creation, supporting the enterprise, new enterprises, and for encouraging startups, the new companies by providing the services. Our services will be provided in two main approach. One of them is financial supports that we will provide some kinds of financial supports for the small and medium enterprises who are active in the field of geoscience and specifically working on the critical minerals. And another part of our activity is providing non-financial supports for the stakeholders and beneficiaries by providing some kinds of informative workshops, webinars, and continuous development programs that we are focusing on that to increasing the capability of the Southwest in working and completing the research project and exploration project in the field of critical minerals.
This is the Southwest Innovation Expo. What kind of innovations are we leading the way here in the Southwest, in this field?
Actually, establishing the equipment hub itself is an innovation. It means that you will have lots of equipment that is working for characterization, determination, and doing the measurement of critical minerals, but it is in a different location. And you have made a hub, and you have provided the services for all available stakeholders in the academic sectors, in the private sectors, and this is a good innovation, I think.
Rob, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, just to add into that, what the hub will do and other research projects we're putting together is facilitate the innovation within it. So it's providing the facilities for companies, private companies, to do the innovation and to work with universities and have collaborative research to create those innovations. So the Southwest does have mineral resources, and historically, if you pulled up, these have been mined out. They were mining tin in the Southwest to the 1990s. We've had tungsten and tin operations, which were opening and operating in little time ago as 4 or 5 years, and they're looking to reopen. So there is some mineral wealth there, and of course the lithium producers who are getting towards that sort of pilot stage and full-scale operation. That none of these are going to supply the entire world with materials, but there's a dual benefit. One is if we can have the extraction of materials here, then we can work to make sure it's done in a responsible way. And it also creates local jobs, and that's something that Cornwall in particular does not have a lot of, is well-paid technical jobs. And this sort of industry does bring that into the region. And then just bringing on that point around innovation and responsibility is one thing. Using these sort of facilities and research centres and collaborations helps us do is to come up with best practice and innovate what best practice might be, which then can be used sort of in a wider context around the world. So it might mean that techniques are developed that allow for extraction where previously it hasn't been possible. It could be that any extraction that's done is done in as efficient and clean a way as possibly can be done. So it's those sort of, contexts that this UK government funding, shared prosperity funding, has allowed us to explore in a wider scale than we might otherwise be able to.
So the innovations that we're making here in the Southwest is helping the narrative on a global scale with regards to environmental impact and doing things more sustainably. That's something we must be very proud of doing.
Yep, absolutely. And if you look at lithium extraction, for example, one of the major sources of lithium is in basically sort of evaporated old lakes. And in order to get the lithium out that, there's a large footprint involved. What's being investigated by these Cornish companies is extraction in a much more controlled way. So the amount of environmental footprint for the amount of lithium you're getting will hopefully be much less. And in that way, the practice that can be done here through the innovation that the region is undertaking can be world-leading.
Earlier on, you mentioned about recycling. You both have touched on the important conversation that is being driven towards consumers about recycling the equipment that they have, most certainly all the tech that they have, because of the hidden precious minerals and precious metals that are there. Just from a personal question, is that narrative, is that conversation being received well by the general public? And can all metals be recycled? Are there some things that cannot be treated in that way that we need to simply go back to the ground to get?
Actually, recycling is one of the most interested topics in the field of critical minerals because, strategically for all governance it is very important to keep the supply chain required for critical minerals. And I think the interest in the recycling of these kinds of minerals will be increased in long term. By increasing the demand for the technologies that are consuming the critical minerals for their manufacturing, for example, for renewable energies, for electrical vehicles and communication devices and so, then there would be much need for the critical minerals and we can may in the future providing of them from real resources be a bit more difficult comparing to them now, then the recycling will be more important in the future. Yes.
I suppose looking at our idea of different metals, it's certainly true that some are easier to recycle than others, and some are recycled more. I mean, if you look at things like aluminium, aluminium cans, or copper, which is often used as a very pure substance, there are high recycling rates. So for copper, it's typically sort of 25 to 30% of the world's supply of copper is recycled in some way or other. Other metals are harder to recycle. The smaller amounts they are, the more hidden they are in technologies, the harder it becomes, the less economic it becomes to get them back out again. There's innovation in this field as well. I remember reading earlier in the year in the papers about the Royal Mint, who are trying to get more gold out of mobile phones, for example. So there's work to improve that. And as I say, it should always be an important part of where we get our materials from. The more recycling we could do, and if we could recycle everything, then that would be more than likely a more, if you like, energy efficient, less sort of carbon footprint way of doing things, less impactful way of doing it. But for some metals, there just isn't enough of them, as I mentioned earlier, around the minute. And for others, it's tricky to get out. I did some sort of number crunching on gold, for example, in mobile phones, and gold comes up a lot. If you manage to recycle every mobile phone in the world, you would produce about as much gold as the world's largest gold mine, which is good. Then you maybe would close that gold mine down. But it would only be still a small proportion of the demand for gold. So there would still need to be that sort of mining interaction with it. So you do get these interesting balances. And as Andy mentioned, research in circularity, the circular economy, particularly in places like the UK, where we're not as resource rich as others, is a big component of what goes on. As a department, in fact, we work with recycling companies as well, because some of the technologies, the ideas from extracting from a primary resource, from a mine, is equally as applicable to a recycling application.
Very interesting. So how are you going about with regards to recruitment and getting interested parties involved in the centre?
Students, well, it's tricky recruiting students. We face, in the Western world as a whole, not even just within our department, a big decline in students going into mining or wanting to take mining-related programs, particularly in, if you like, the Western world, in Australia, in Canada, in the UK. There's less people going into these industries, and I think a lot of it is to do with the perception of mining. A lot of what is put out in general media is very negative, and for good reasons. In many cases, we can argue that, but it makes it tricky to get the message across that this is necessary. There isn't a solution for moving to a green economy or developing a global economy that doesn't involve extraction of primary minerals, metals from the ground. The best you can do is do that in as responsible a way as is possible. And having graduates trained up in that way of thinking is an important thing to do. But I guess to go back to that idea of recruitment, it's difficult to get their message across in a large way to a large audience. And that's perhaps where we struggle with recruitment, and perhaps where the Western world struggles with recruitment, is that you've got a lot of messages which are potentially negative coming in from one direction, and it's difficult then to get those more positive messages back out the other way.
Actually, one of the main important parts of the critical mineral equipment hub is thinking about creation of the jobs. One main part of our project is supporting the feasibility studies of the mineral companies that they are doing in the field of critical minerals. And this is a feasibility studies. And finally, they will have some job creation here as a result of the research that are doing here. And we are thinking about supporting financially and non-financially the companies who are working in the field of critical minerals to help them to develop their field of activities, and directly and indirectly, it will make some job position in the Southwest, yeah.
From what you are both saying, it's clear that recruitment with regards to careers and job creation is just so very, very important.
Yes, exactly. It is very important. We have a lots of plan for doing that in the Critical Mineral Equipment Hub project. Actually, we will supporting the feasibility studies, as I said, for the research project of the companies. We will providing some laboratory services for the academic center for developing the project, and also for the private sector to start some new development in the field of their studies. Also, we will try to make some workshops and some webinars, some continuous development programs, providing for the student of the universities, for the student of the college, even on for the staff of the small and medium enterprises in the Southwest, with the goal of helping them for creating the job directly and indirectly. Yes.
Fantastic to hear. Really good to hear. Can you tell us about some of the other programs that you're running very quickly?
Yeah, if I talk about the teaching programs we do offer, so although recruitment is a struggle, we want more people to come into the industry, so we have the program to teach them. So we do have a degree apprenticeship program in mining engineering for undergraduates. That's for people already working on a mine site. Our focus at the minute, at least, is in master's level programs. So it's taking graduates and teach them how they can use the skills they've got to work in the mining industry. So we cover a wide spectrum there. We teach mining engineering. We teach mine environmental management. What I teach and what I run is a program in minerals processing. So that's getting the metals out of the rocks. We also teach mining and exploration geology. So how do you find the materials, and how do you quantify what materials are there, and geotechnical engineering.
Busy people. You both sound like very, very busy people. Hardy and Rob, both from the Camborne School of Mines at the University of Exeter, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Innovation Conversations. Recorded by Fresh Air Studios on location at Southwest Innovation Expo, Sandy Park, Exeter, on the 5th of March 2024. This podcast was produced as a joint venture between the University of Exeter and the University of Plymouth. Presented by Paul Philpott. Engineering and video editing by Mark Stevenson. Audio editing by Martin Burgess Moon. Production assistance by Lisa Hartwell. Producers for the University of Exeter, Marina Alto, Georgia Brown, and Andrew Dean. Producers for the University of Plymouth, Rich Adams and Melanie Jones. Copyright University of Exeter and University of Plymouth.